The sounds of fall bring to mind trophy bucks to the bow hunters all across the country. Bow hunting for trophy bucks is a passion for many, but sometimes it's a blessing that was completely unexpected. Come along today on the Trail to Adventure as Pastor Ryan Flunker shares his experience of a bow hunt gone bad and then turned around. He'll share stories of missed opportunities, misplaced shots, and redemption, and the true trophies that come from the time spent in God's great outdoors. Now here's your host of the Trail to Adventure, brought to you by God's Great Outdoors, Dean Hulse.
Thank you, Adam, for that intro. I'm really looking forward to sharing with you guys all today. Program as Pastor Ryan Flunker joins us. And we get to share a story of a hunt that Ryan and I did, along with my wife Linda, Ryan's son Micah, and my grandson Micah. We hunted South Dakota this past fall, and we had a great time, and we want to share an exciting story. A little bit about Ryan, who was born and raised here in my area, and he left for college and then the mission field, and now is back with his family pastoring in Sagola, Michigan. Ryan, great to have you.
Dean, it's great to be with you here. Love the vision here and the story for how God's using this program. Thankful we get a chance to chat today.
Oh, it's going to be fun, I think. So I think that as we start, I'd like to introduce who you are, where you've come from, where you've been. Raised in a Christian home and came to Christ fairly young.
Correct.
And a little bit about, you can maybe share with us, because this program has really close ties to where you went to school.
That's right. Yes. My story is one of God's faithfulness and grace. The little that I've contributed mostly is continually eclipsed by God's goodness and his grace in my
life.
That's
awesome.
I grew up, as you mentioned, in a Christian home. Parents who loved the Lord, but a dad primarily who was, like many dads are, the last ones to get to church and the first ones out the door. It was a transforming work in his life through an ecumenical work of Crucio. It's like a small retreat that's in kind of our area of the country here.
I did Crucio once, and it was a great experience.
Well, his life changed after that. And I was a young man, junior high age. And after that, he was the first one to church and then the last to leave. And my life really changed trajectory on that course. And I had always had an affinity and an interest in the things of God, a love for the Bible. It was after that transformation in my dad's life that we started to get involved in church. It was right around that time in growing up through school that thankfully with some good youth leaders had opportunity to look on to graduation and college. And that's where my family took my sister and I to Answers in Genesis with Ken Ham to a family camp that they had. And around this time, I was very interested in science, really pursuing the all that was advertised by the world in for the American dream, but a lot of that revolving around science. And so I had always had an interest in the stars and astronomy and physics. And it was at this family camp that we asked Ken Ham the question, are there any universities that you would recommend that teach creation from a biblical worldview? And Ken didn't even pause for a second before he said Cedarville University in Ohio. And so we happened to be near that neck of the woods anyways. My parents said, well, would you want to go and check it out? And I didn't care. I didn't know the difference between any school at that point. So we went to Cedarville, and it looked fine to me. It was God's, again, faithfulness and grace in my life.
Well, and I should mention that if you followed the program, you know that this program started out of Cedarville University. So where did it go from there?
So from Cedarville, I entered into the physics program that they had. I was, again, unexpectedly blessed by God bringing into my life men who had then turned into my groomsmen and best men friends to this day. And I'll never forget that on that last day in Mexico, we were overlooking Mexico City. After a week of service, the missionary that we were with, he said that everywhere that we would look in 360 degrees, you would find 90% of the people going to a Christless eternity. I remember sitting at the top of that hill with the wind blowing through the grass and just hearing from God this sense of, it was a combination of two thoughts. One, the brevity of my life. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. Today's the only day that I have. And the urgency of the need to reach the lost. And so it was that moment that brought me back to Cedarville to know I could no longer continue down the path of pursuing my desires for, you know, the what's the American dream tell you? Beautiful wife, beautiful house on the hill, big old four-wheel drive pickup truck, you know, everything that you would want. To lay all of those down and to instead, and I inscribe this on the front cover of my Bible, wherever, whenever, whatever. And that became really a mantra to live by from that moment forward. It was changing my major then to world missions in that conviction to say, I'll go wherever, whenever, and do whatever, that led me ultimately to a 15-year-long investment in the people of the Bahamas and a lifelong blessing by finding my wife, who also knew from a young age that she wanted to be a missionary. But both of those originated from that mission trip.
Well, it's, and we've got limited time, and I really do want to get to the hunting part of this. After the time there, you guys had your hearts broken.
That's right.
Which actually God used to put you where he wanted you.
That's right. So we worked at a couple of ministries there on the island, and one of the things that I was tasked with as a blessing was teaching other church leaders how to know and understand and rightly divide God's word. At the same time, my dad was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease, and they gave him a bleak outlook. However, there was one particular verse in 1 Timothy that said that the children need to learn, first of all, to put their religion into practice by caring for their parents, and in so doing, repaying them. And if anybody does not know how to care for his parents, he's denied the faith. And so here I am as a Bible teacher, and yet living so far away from my parents that I can't give any help. And that became just an insurmountable conflict that could only be resolved by us once again packing our bags, leaving the ministry and the people, and returning by faith to a future that was completely unknown. Came home, cared for my dad until his last days as he battled, and then sticking around to serve my mom as she's still here. And at that same time, returning to my home, and it was my dad who was fishing buddies with the pastor up in Sagola, said, Ryan, let's go up there and give Dave a visit. And it was on that very first visit, I remember walking into the sanctuary with a feeling like, I could see myself here. Turns out it was and has been the perfect fit for our family and myself as well for the church.
Let's take a break quick, and we'll share some other things, and then we'll be back.
For the last 26 years, God's Great Outdoors Trail to Adventure has been broadcast out to win men and women, boys and girls, to Jesus Christ. This is only possible because of the generosity of our listeners. Thank you to all that have generously supported us in the past. God has blessed us because of you. We pray that you will feel his blessings as well. Additional underwriting support has been supplied by Matthews Archery, the leader in the archery industry. Mission Archery, the revolutionary crossbow technology. Three Rivers Archery, supplying everything that you need to make your own traditional archery equipment, and Hunter's Safety Systems. Saving lives is what we do. God's Great Outdoors has produced many ministry tools, including tracts, DVDs, and books to help you reach others for Jesus Christ. You can access these items and other God's Great Outdoors items, as well as much more, at our website, ggoutdoors.org. That's ggoutdoors.org. On today's Ministry Minute, we'd like to introduce Blast and Cast Ministry out of the Houston, Texas area. A Christian outreach using common bonds of hunting and fishing to reach sportsmen with the gospel of Christ. Since 1999, they've grown from Texas to Louisiana and New Mexico and hope eventually to spread to all 50 states. Their focus is to reach men that are normally found on the water or in the field Sunday mornings, missing church. You can find them at Facebook at Blast and Cast Men's Ministries or check out their website at blastandcast.org. If you're in the Texas area, join them for Sporting Clays events in Lufkin on March 11th and Fort Worth on April 23rd. For more information, their website again is blastandcast.org.
We're back. We're here with Ryan Flunker, a pastor in the Upper Peninsula, Michigan, near us. And we actually met over hunting. Actually, we met in a men's retreat for about 10 seconds one time. But when we first really met was over hunting. And give me just a little bit of your background with your dad, you know, your passion.
I don't have that same type of buck fever that he always had. Nevertheless, though, as we mentioned, it's easy to catch once you're out there in the woods. So, yes, your son Nick, he gave the invitation and opportunity to go on this hunt. But for me, the part that would be most important is that I would be able to share that experience with my son. And that's where you and I really got to know each other.
One of the things that Linda and I have done for years is take some pastors on hunts that would never take the time away from their work or their families to go and do it. But we finally talked you into it, and I'd love for you to share the story, because you went there. First of all, you didn't practice with your bow as much as you should have, and I reminded you of that. Share the stories of how the hunt went, because there's some great stories there.
Yeah. So I have not shot this bow since I was 17 years old at home. In the little time that I had to try to get a good group together, felt confident enough to make it out there into the woods with you, but still was quite unprepared for what we were going to see in terms of deer. I remember as you and Nick showed me repeatedly these monster bucks on trail cams, that the word that I was told was, we have a perfect stand for you. In fact, I was told there were a parade of bucks that had just been seen there recently. So got up early, enjoyed the time out there, and sat to watch the sunrise. How many deer did I see that first day?
I think zero.
No deer that first day. And I think if I'm not mistaken, you told me that had never happened before with a hunter, to not see a single piece of fur.
I think that's true. I think you broke that record for us.
So I know I started the week off as the absolute worst. You couldn't get any worse than me up there in that stand. And then it was the next day, boy, that beautiful Riverview sunrise. And I saw a couple of small deer come through, and eventually saw what for me is just a trophy buck, bigger than any 8-pointer I'd seen ever here in Michigan. And I watched him work his way all the way up the edge, chasing some does around. Your heart starts to beat a little bit, right? Is he going to make it towards me? Is he going to come close enough? And sure enough, he did, pushing a little doe in front, and she sniffed me out. I was a statue, wasn't moving at all. Finally, she flicked the tail. He comes close enough to put his head down to eat. And I pull this old 30-year-old bow back to take a shot. And in my excitement, Dean, I missed. Now, again, from not being somebody who has hunted for the last 20 years or so, it was a surprise to me to miss, but apparently hunters miss occasionally.
More often than I care to have happen as a guide.
Well, as I know, being the rookie pastor who's out there, I took it a little personally. Not only did I lose the trophy, but I felt like I let my fellow service men and women down because I had missed the chance to shoot this great buck. So it was the following day, that same buck came out again, and this time he looked right at me. He knew right where I was. And that was the end of that day. The following day, as the sun begins to set, I see a spike buck that's working his way towards me, and he keeps looking into the brush. He something's there that he can tell, but I can't see it. And then sure enough, out walks, not the 8-pointer, a 10-pointer. This deer got my heart racing immediately. As he made his way in, I began to draw back. And I ended up clinching the arrow so hard that I de-knocked it from the string mid-draw. And now I've got the arrow hitting the branches. The deer's looking over at me like, what in the world is going on in that tree? So he's turning his head to move. I finally draw down, re-knock the arrow, pull up, and this time as he's quartering away, I think I have to aim higher because he's further away. And right as I let go of the arrow, I say a little prayer, Lord, let this one fly straight. And it flies right over the top of him and it hits him in the antler. My arrow shatters in pieces on the ground. Dean, at this point, I was so ashamed. I knew I couldn't even tell you that I missed another trophy buck.
And you didn't tell me.
No.
We did. We went from that hunt that day to the last day of your hunt, the last afternoon. And you were a little discouraged. And I would just mention that we had a friend in camp, a hunter that we've become friends with. He's a great guy. His name's Cole, and he had come from Texas, saw your disappointment, and he had a parade up and down this valley that leads up to a cornfield, came to me, and he said, put Ryan at that stand. He said, he'll be able to shoot a buck tonight. That morning, he comes out and tells me of a big 10-point there and several 8-points that he had seen that morning. The 10-point didn't come in range or he'd have killed it, but he said, put Ryan there. He said, he'll kill a buck tonight. And that was his choice. I didn't ask him to get out of there. But tell us how the afternoon went.
Absolutely. And anyone who knows the Lord and is out in the woods knows that it's a spiritual experience. And so even having missed these deer, I had been seeking how God may be working this whole time. And one verse kept coming to my mind, God does all things well. Even though that wasn't making sense to me at this moment, knowing how Cole's selflessness, to see how he might encourage the rookie pastor here by giving up his tree, meant the world to me. Whether or not I saw anything or not, I had resolved in my heart that it was going to be God's gift to me to give me again the beautiful scenery of South Dakota, no matter what happened. Well, sure enough, here I go down to this new stand the last day. And on my way into the stand, do you remember I got lost? And
I do. I do. And it's not hard to find.
That was the last little shred of pride I had to the point where I'm having to call you guys because now I'm lost in the middle of the woods. But with a little love and direction, I find my way to the tree. I get all the way up there to the top. And he told me that the night before, you recall, he saw 30 deer on that same meadow in between these two hills. In fact, he stopped counting after 30 deer. So I'm expecting at any minute, deer are going to be flooding in. Well, 1 hour passes. Nothing. 2 hours passed, nothing. 3 hours, no deer. I saw some cows, but no deer. Well, finally, I hear a little bit of crunch off to the south. It's a doe and two fawns working their way across, but they're so far away, I don't have a chance. I truly feel like this is about it for me. 30 minutes or so left in the day. And then all the way across the valley, I think what I see are some antlers. So I look up, and I see what looks like antlers in this thicket. And I look with my binoculars, and sure enough, it is a beautiful 10-point buck. Thank you, Lord. This is just, of course, they're not going to come anywhere near me. They're 200 yards or further away. I can just barely make them out, but it's a beautiful sunset. And I get to treasure this moment, knowing regardless of what happens, God does all things well. After about 5 minutes or so, the lead doe, she starts to make her way off towards the south. And I think, well, right behind her is the buck. And this might be my only chance to really get their attention. So I was going to grunt and see if that might draw their attention this way. Well, sure enough, rookie pastor hunter that I am forgot his grunt back at camp. So instead, I just let out a burp. And sure enough, it works. The doe turns and like a laser looks directly at me. But the buck didn't hear. He raises his head and he looks and sees her looking at me, and I can tell the wheels are starting to turn in this buck's mind. He's thinking, now who is that that's got her attention? Yeah. And he's glancing over towards me. And almost like a movie script, suddenly these deer turn direction to start to make their way down right at me. I almost couldn't believe what I was seeing. As they get closer, the doe reaches the valley in front of me. She walks out, and right behind her, this massive 10-point buck walks out. They're coming closer. They're coming within range. So I get ready about mid-draw as I'm ready to take another lucky shot here at this 10-pointer. I just notice out of the periphery of my eyes that where they came out of the woods, the trees start to move because following this massive 10-point was the largest 12-point buck I have ever seen in my life. It was incredible. It was the kind of thing that makes you a little nervous if you're not used to seeing deer this size.
Or a lot nervous.
He looked like a horse in my imagination. And after this point, the whole thing kind of becomes a blur because that 10-point makes his way down within 10 yards of me. And the 12-pointer follows him and starts to go completely perpendicular to me, but he looks like he's going to jump over the fence. I don't know when I drew my bow, but all I remember is I'm at a full draw as he's moving, and had I had a little more experience in time, I might have grunted to get him to stop, but instead I just let the arrow fly, and it hits him high and back. At this point, everything becomes a blur. The deer scatter as I ask myself, what just happened? I don't even know what I'm looking at now because I don't have a deer on the ground dead. I don't have a deer running that we're going to follow. He's right there in front of me. So I grab for my quiver. I get my, which would be my third arrow. You remember the day before I shattered an arrow off the antler. So I only have three left in the quiver. This is my third arrow. So I draw back on this deer as he's now about 35 yards away from me, and I shoot and I miss, Dean. I missed again. I have one arrow left in the quiver. This is it, man. So I pull that last arrow out, take best aim as I could. As I let it fly and it approaches the deer, the arrow hits a twig and bounces off the deer. I feel like you can't make this stuff up. I feel like a medieval archer firing these arrows. And I let that last arrow fly, and it was a perfect shot.
It
went all the way in. At this point, I let a sigh of relief, went back up the tree, fetched my binoculars, and then climbed up the hill to talk to you guys.
It was an interesting evening. I should say that this whole thing took literally, it took longer to tell it probably just now than it actually took to do it.
Yeah.
You know, out of all this, and because it was, and I should say that it was, it's a phenomenal 6x6 whitetail that scores in the 160s. And I will tell you, out of all the pictures that we took, and we took a lot of pictures, and we had a great time because you didn't know what you had. When no. The rest of us that knew more about score and stuff, when we walked down there with it, we kept saying, you, Ryan, you don't know what you have here, because it was a buck of many lifetimes. Out of everything, all the pictures, all the time, we sat and we prayed, and we thanked the Lord for that deer and for the time that we had there. Of all the pictures of everything else, that the thing that I hold that affects me the most is the picture of you and Micah at the river with the river in the background. And that's really what, when I see the picture of the deer and stuff, my mind goes to the pictures of the two of you and what that meant together. Because as fathers, we long for those times, and they're very few and far between. Micah's got a few years and he'll be out of school and on his own, and it won't be long. And those are the things we cherish and we hold, and those are the things that he'll cherish for his life. We're about out of time, and I'm glad we got to share this. We could go on for probably another hour if we'd really let it run.
Dean, just 30 more seconds to share with you too.
Please.
One of the treasures that I have with sharing that with my son was a text message that he sent to me just before that 12-point walked out. He sent me a text that said, "Dad, don't be discouraged. Just enjoy the day that the Lord gave you." And to know that my son was thinking of me to encourage me and to reference the gift of God, that message from him meant more to me than the trophy buck that we ended up getting to experience together.
Harvesting a deer is great, but that's a minor thing compared to what life is all about.
Amen.
And with God's great outdoors, we get to see a lot of those things. I've been blessed to be around a lot of people that have gotten experiences that changed their lives. And this was a life-changing experience. And I'm glad that you saw at the end why we do what we do. That made it all worthwhile. And I will say that I asked Cole after the fact, I said, "If you knew that buck was down there, would you have still given up that stand?" He said, "Absolutely." He said, "That meant more to Ryan than it would have ever meant to me." So that's a pretty good testimony to a man there that that loves the Lord and loves other people.
Amen. Thank you, Dean, for giving me the chance to share. And we thank our Lord for how faithful he is.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for joining us this week. Adam will close us out in a minute. And thank you. And hopefully we'll see you on the Trail to Adventure.
Time now for Dean's Devotional. Wherever, whenever, whatever. Isaiah 6, 8 through 9 says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And whom will go for us?' And I said, 'Here I am, send me.' He said, 'Go and tell his people.'" The life of a hunting or fishing guide is a life of service. If you aren't willing to be a servant, you'll never make it as a guide. Throughout the career of a guide, you will generally have a plan every day, but occasionally you give an option to a client. It is at that point you have to follow the direction of someone else. It's true that the moment we come to Jesus Christ, we join into full-time ministry. Like Isaiah, God will call each of us to go and serve. To live a fulfilled life, our heart must be set on a three-word phrase that was shared on today's program by Pastor Ryan. Wherever, whenever, whatever. Wherever God wants us to go, whenever he wants us to go, whatever he wants us to do. Are you living out your calling? Are you listening for God's direction? When you hear him ask, "Whom shall I send?" answer with this: "Here I am, Lord, send me." This has been Dean's Devotional. For more, check out our Facebook page, God's Great Outdoors Trail to Adventure. An amazing story today of father and son relationships, God's calling on our lives, and how we look out for one another. Today's guest, Pastor Ryan Flunker, talked about the impact his father had on his life, and our host saw the impact that Ryan had on his son, Micah. We've been given amazing opportunities to share with our children his love through God's great outdoors. Get out and enjoy some time together with your family. And please come back and join us next week as we explore God's trail to adventure. For your host, Dean Hulse, this is Adam Erickson saying, get out and enjoy God's great outdoors.